It's time to get real. The cry matters. The cry of barrenness.
First Samuel, the book of First Samuel, chapter 1. And I actually want to read two verses, verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Here beginneth the reading of God's holy word. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget me, forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. The word of the Lord for the people of God. You can take your seats. And so today we continue with the year theme, Kingdom Settled. Kingdom Settled. And I'm in the series, God Hears the Cry. God Hears the Cry. The sermon topic, the cry of barrenness. The cry of barrenness. I begin. Church, there is no cry like that of a barren woman. This is a woman who desires to house a child, hold a child, and hug a child of their own. This is a far cry from the days in which we live, where many are given this blessed opportunity and they choose to abort. Listen, while the monthly cycle for most women is not a jump for joy experience and can bring about all sorts of feelings of discomfort, the woman who desires a child goes through a special grieving cycle each and every month. Ask me how I know. There is something about being barren for any season of time that testifies that your very body has betrayed you. For the reason you are a female, a woman, is that you may join with a male, your husband, and the two shall become one and have little ones. Did you get that? The two become one and have little ones. I just showed you why we got a lot of trouble in the island of Bermuda. I said the two become one and have little ones. Okay, all right. It's God's natural order. Come on now. Church, as we look at the text, we must do so in the context of the society and culture of that day. Hannah could not go through in vitro fertilization. She could not go to visit Dr. Woods to find out if her hormonal levels of estrogen and progesterone were as they ought to be. She could not find out even if she was ovulating, Doc. No. She had to experience what was. She was barren. Obviously, the issue was not her husband, because we know he had children with Penina. The issue here is that the one who had the children became lifted in pride and joined others in scorning Hannah. Church, we know the story well. And so there are some things that I can interject even in the introduction. Like another woman entering your barren situation is not the answer. Say it again, Simon. Another woman entering your barren situation is not the answer. It will be a web weaved, and the women involved will eventually wear each other out in some sort of war. Barren, a fruit with no seed. Barren, a woman with no seed. Barren, a fruit that looks the part but cannot do the part. Barren, a woman that looks the part but cannot do the part. Barren fruit, once used up, have no use in the future. Barren woman, after herself, there is no future. Barren. A church, to appreciate the weight of what God did for Hannah, it is important to feel the weight of barrenness that consumed Hannah. Yet God will step in. Yes, God will step into the situation in order to teach you and I that he knows how to handle barren situations. Oh, Lord, I hope you all are up to date on your reading of the Bible, because that's what the Bible's for, that no matter what you go through, come on. Yeah, you know that you're going through. You do know that you will celebrate. Do I have any Bible readers that know? Oh, no matter what situation I read about, huh? Joy, pain, anger, comfort. It don't matter. At the end of every situation, you will have the victory. See, that's what the real Bible believers know. Let me personally say that Hannah is my favorite biblical female, because I experienced the situation of barrenness. Month by month, I knew what it was to feel like a failure. Yet, like our Hannah, I never stopped going to the temple and worshiping God. Listen, worshiping will get you through. Listen, I can stop the sermon right there. I said worshiping will get you through. See, you limit what worship can do. I know that God shows up, for he seeks those who, worship him in spirit and in truth. So if you're worshiping in spirit and in truth, guess what? God just showed up. And when God shows up, he brings all of his upness with him. He brings all of who he is. Whatever you want, it's all in the name of Jesus. Whatever you need, it's all in the name of the Lord. Whatever you want, I said, it's all in the name of Jesus. You can call him in the morning. You can call him at noonday. You can call him in the evening. He's the same sweet Jesus. Anybody know that Jesus? Hey. See, let me help you out. In the year 2023, it is very easy to acquiesce, become as the world, be convinced by the world, take the world at their mouth, what they say. But I'm telling you, I'm still a Bible-believing child of God. I will not limit what God is limitless. He can do anything but fail. Oh, my God. That's why in the midst of failure, see, in the midst of failure, I know people, they shut down, they shut out, they shut up. But when I dance every Sunday, play my tambourine every Sunday. What more could I do but give God praise? After all, it's God that's going to change the situation. So while the situation has not changed, I will allow the situation to make me stronger, wiser, and better. Because I know God's coming through. So hear me. Worshiping gets you through. Whether or not you bear children. Now see, that's a point right there. I had to accept it. See? Ooh. See, I'm looking for the child. Can I say this? I'm looking for the child of God who is a whether or not saint. Whether he answers my prayer. You think I don't have prayers that have not been answered? Yeah. Dreams that have not come true? Yeah. But will that? It doesn't. My DNA is I am a worshiper. Huh? And that I understand that it's in the worship that I'm made strong enough to go through what I'm going through. Yeah. Glory. Some of us are going to grow up even stronger this year. Whether or not you bear children, you better bear your soul in worship. Huh? You will need God either way. I promise you, he came through for me during two seasons of barrenness. But can I tell you, I still need him because of him making me fruitful? I think some of you can pick the birds out of that. You will need him either way. And so let's join our girl Hannah, look through her experience of barrenness as we look at the following 3 points. Point number one, barren at home and church. Oh boy. Barren at home and church. Point two, bitterness at home and church. Bitterness at home and church. And then point number three is birth at home and church. Birth at home and church. Holy Ghost. Let's deal with the point number one, barren at home and church. Church, today we will look at the alignment of the situation of Hannah and the situation happening at Shiloh. Direct alignment. Shiloh means place of rest. And the meaning of this word comes with a yearning. It means it's not, I want to rest. It's, I want to rest. You see, it's a passion. It's a plea. It's a yearning. Not I want to go nap. I need. It's a difference. It's not just the place. It's that I long for. See, we've got some, I don't know, a few girls, a few guys that when they know it's Sunday, they need. See, that's the difference. You got to figure out, listen, okay, give them a paraphrase, Seaman. You have to figure out whether you're home or at church. And what are you doing at home or church? Did you wake up and say, oh, ho, let's do this. It's Sunday morning. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's me. I wake up, I say, okay, what day was it? What was I doing? Yeah. Sunday. Let's do this today. See, that's the type of. But you know I'm special already, so you actually, you know that's the truth, what I just said. Listen, I need church. I need fellowship. Come on. This is my resting place. Come on. At church, when you have this attitude, you are settled where your Shiloh is. You see, Hannah desired rest at home. And God desired rest in his home. His house of worship, Shiloh. I literally wept while understanding and typing this. That the house of God, Shekinah Worship Center, ought to be your Shiloh, your place of rest. Listen, I think we got it. I think we pretty much got it. Shouldn't come to church for drama. Shouldn't come to church and be restless. No, this place is Shiloh. All that happening in her is worship unto God. That's God's desire. That's why we say of our church, it is our church home. Because at home here is Shiloh, Shekinah, Shiloh. Let me read verses 1-3. Now there was a certain man of Rethem Sophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tahu, the son of Zuth, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. See, I'm going to do a lot of teaching today. It might take me a little bit of time because I'm breaking it down and feeling something even as I read. The name of the first one was Hannah, right? That means Hannah's the first wife, the legitimate wife. I want you to consider that Hannah is his bride of his choice. Okay? When he saw all these other Jewish girls,
I only have eyes for you.
Hannah. Hannah. All right, all right. And the name of the other, that's the other woman, the other. Other. Penina. And Penina had children. Doesn't it seem like we live in a world where they're multiplying more, meaning multiplying sinners more? Doesn't it? Well, it's not. It doesn't even seem. We live in a world where we are producing more Peninas than Hannahs. Where we are producing more Peninas children than Hannahs. Okay, all right, all right. But Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Okay, let me pull out some powerful points here. Important. Elkanah was a powerfully positioned man. His name, Elkanah, means God has possessed or God has created. Right? Remember, he's the husband of Hannah, his bride. That's what God created. Okay? All right. So what we must understand here is that even though this situation is a mess, God created or allowed it to exist for a reason. I mean, we have to understand that if the Bible only showed good things, we wouldn't know what to do for ourselves today. Because now, because there's no good within me, I've got to strive, sanctification, right? And so therefore, if I didn't see and read about in the Bible situations which are negative, which are stressful and all of that, I will go through and have no hope. And so the reason that such stories are placed in the Bible is so that when you go through, you go through. Come on, somebody. You go through. Don't stay there because we have a record of how to get out. All right. The reason is that God knew it would exist and made it a way of stepping into the mess to correct it. Why? So that when people in years and generations to come experience it, they would have the blueprint with how to deal with it. The blueprint. Like the big old blueprint is, don't bring Penina in your house. You know, don't get accepted. Oh, we now have a society. Oh, that's the mom of his other children. We all get along. Really? I told my husband, I wouldn't have married you if you had children. Because we don't play. We ain't playing with that. We ain't playing with that. Right. Tell them that decades ago. That's not going to work, buddy. In case you got any secret children, you better let me know now. Ain't going to work. That's just what he would do. I'll tell you. So God does not, listen, God does not show wrong for you to repeat wrong and grow in wrong. No, God shows error, the error of fallen mankind, to show mankind how to handle their failing and faulty flesh. God knows we're going to fail. We're going to go another way. We're going to go off target. And he shows us how to get back on track. Listen, church, in 2023, when you face situations that are messy, understand that God knows how to deal with messy situations to bring forth his message. I want to hit that home. Don't say, oh, look at her. She's just looking for perfect people. I didn't say that. First of all, I'm not perfect. And then I said, God uses messy situations to bring forth a message of hope through your situation. Yes. So listen to this. At home, Elkanah had two wives. Watch this. At church, Eli had two natures, the sanctified and the sensual. Slow down, see me right here. The sanctified would be the Hannah type. The sensual would be the Penina. I'm trying to show you again the alignment between Herm and the church. Herm and Shiloh. Okay? I will continue, I keep on saying, I don't know why. I will continue to remind you that the situation for Hannah was a picture of the church. She was barren. She was not infertile. Oh, I want that. She was barren. She was not infertile. She was barren. God held her back from reproducing. See, that's a message, right? Some of you miss it. God said, nope, I don't want you to reproduce. Nope, you're not going to reproduce. And because you're echoing, I'm doing something here, you're not going to reproduce either. There will be no growth in my house when Penina and Hannah are in the house. Okay, I think it's becoming clear. I see some Holy Ghost catching. There's a barren situation here. And it echoes the barren situation here. And God says, it's not that you can't reproduce. I'm going to stop you from reproducing because I got these two natures. Cat fighting. Gumbe clash. Let me leave that alone if I lose some people. Woo! All right. Let's go, semen. God held her back from reproducing. God also keeps the house from reproducing under the leadership of Eli via his unethical sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Shekinah Worship Center, God's house will not produce or reproduce as it ought to and as it can until the ones behaving totally contrary are exposed and dealt with. This is God's house, and we ought to desire Shiloh. Some rest, yo, some rest. The Bible tells us that Elkanah went yearly to Shiloh to offer sacrifices. He was a faithful priest going up to a priest in Shiloh that was no longer faithful. For you see, when a priest allows people to operate in leadership, when they are sinking the ship, then God will step into a right Shiloh. God's house, God's sanctified ship. It's the old ship of Zion. Can't treat it any way we want. Can't think it's about the pastor. Can't think it's about you. It's God's house. Yeah. E for E. You're going to get it. E for E. Elkanah. For Eli, keep on teaching, I'm seeming. Elkanah, the Bible says, he's a faithful man, priest of his house, going up. He's faithful. Eli's unfaithful. E for which E? Which E must continue? What is it that God approves of? See, I will admit it, I'm faulty, I'm flesh. I just have a long arm of mercy, and I keep on just waiting, God. Change, God. Do it. God, you can do it. God, you can change. God, help me just to die. God, who cares? It can't be about me. But at some point, and that's what God showed me, said, Maria, I step in because I got to have reproduction in my house. Oh, God will clean up his house. I want you to look to your neighbor and ask them, which E are you? Ooh-wee. Which E are you? Verses 4 and 5. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penina his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah, look at Holy Ghost. Look at the investment. Okay, say it another way, Seaman. They'll definitely want to hear this. Look at the money. I'll give to the other woman. Yeah, I got a cover there. They're expensive. But to the one who represents my church, the one who is faithful, I will give a worthy. You're worthy, God. You're worthy. A worthy portion. Not my leftovers. Not what I can afford. Not what I feel like. I'll give. Oh, God. See, watch this now. So it's not dependent on what you can do. It's dependent on how good God is. Yeah, that's right. That's why you keep, because God, you're good. I'm going to invest because I know you're going to come through. Okay, watch this. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. Wait, for he loved Hannah, a.k.a. he loved the church, a.k.a. he loved his bride. Okay, let me help you out. See, we want sinners and saints to go to heaven. Penina are not going to heaven. Troublemaker. That's why. Not because of the children. Because her heart's wrong. Troublemaker. Come in to disturb the peace. Lifted up in pride. Don't know her place. Stay. Back off. Back off, Penina. What? Back off. I know you got what you got, but you ain't got what I have. Come on now. Come on, let's follow the story, because Hannah had something Penina didn't have. Habashinketa. So I better finish reading. For he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. You know why you shut something up? Because you don't want what's in to escape before it's time. So it's in there. I just got to shut it up. Because I don't want you to reproduce under the wrong conditions. Oh, glory to Jesus. And so examine the text with me. He did the right thing in giving Penina and her children. However, don't miss that Elkanah gave Hannah a worthy portion. What does this mean? This means that her price was far above rubies. Man, look at, see, that's when you have all women, one man, all these women and children. Hey, that's what he can get to her. If he can get to her, he can afford this, give me the, see that? That's what happens. He ain't no good. He ain't no good. Put it all on Facebook. He ain't no good. I'm a single woman, and I'm doing it all by myself. Well, guess what? Because you were Penina and you ran and had children with him. Hannah knows who to reproduce with. Yeah, her price is far above rubies. That even though she has borne no seed, she is the one he sees as the love of his life. See? Watch this. God sees the church as his love. The love of his life. This means that while God gives to everyone, there is a special giving and grace that God bestows upon his bride. The bride. Anyone bride? God ain't got, okay, God ain't got, okay, this is my sanctified bride. When I go to church, I go if the sanctified one. And when I want to let loose and I don't even know what to say. Party hardy, all types of words like that. I go with Penina. So you got two natures. No. One church. Right? Not a schizophrenic church. And I'm speaking to the official. All right? I'm not speaking down to a disease. I'm talking about something that's written to make the analogy. It's not a schizophrenic, divided church. All right? It's not a church that's bipolar, that has extreme condition. And I've got these in my family. People think I say things and I'm coming. I'm just talking about what a word means. All right? I'm not downing anyone. Okay? I want to make that plain. And so God speaks, I cannot have the church that way. The left, far left, the far right. Cannot meet in the middle, all right? Listen to this. This is the church. His chosen bride, his cherished bride, his coming bride. The place of Shiloh, this place of worship, ought to be like no other. No other. No other place can match up to what this place is. That's why you're not supposed to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. God don't say, I'll meet you at your bedside and I'll meet you. No. When he talks about the place where he's going to worship and worship and come and join the worship, and it's the house of God. Now, this house is called Shekinah. It's other houses. But I'm saying you got to come together and not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. What are you doing? Having 50 people at your house? I don't know. It takes me to point two, bitterness at home and church, verses 6-8. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret. See, you miss that. Some people are scheduled just to get on your nerves, all right? Because the Lord had shut up her womb. He says it. And as he did year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her. So she provoked her. Like saying, oh, what you going to go out for? Didn't rock last year. You still praying about that? Still ain't got no children. Look at me. I'm on my 10th child. Yeah. Watch all of your church. That church a revolving door. People come in and go. Can I tell you we have a standard? We have a standard. That's the difference. You're not going to come in here and try to be benign unto me. You don't know Ray Russell's child then. I had to say Ray Russell on that one. Okay. So she provoked her. That's Penina. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why? Yeah, what's up? Why weepest thou and why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. That's how they feel when they're chasing you. When they're chasing you, they offer you the world. I know it's true, Sister Deal. You ain't got to tell me. I'm telling you, I'm still got the letters. If I took them to court, they'd put them to jail. It is what it is. Because that's okay, because they think that they are your knight in shining armor, your hero, right? So therefore, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Who else can do the plumbing in this house? Who else can fix? Who else can paint the roof and do? All right, I want children. See the difference? See the difference? I want to know that there is sustainability with who I am. Not the roof that's going to need to get done every other year. And so he doesn't have that understanding, Elkanah, in his humanity. These verses, they show us the bitterness at home. This is the, because you've got to see, there must be a bitter situation to match the bitter situation. There's a bitterness at home. What are you worrying about? He going into Penina, pop, 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 and there you go, another one out. It don't need to listen. And he's still, I only have eyes for, yeah, but your other parts are for somebody else. And they're producing for you see? Church, hear me. Could it be that God allowed, I'm jumping in to preach to myself. Could it be that God allowed Penina in the house and Penina to reproduce so that you would understand that bringing in another woman of another spirit will not solve your problem? Hey, glory to Jesus. Yes, Penina had sons, but she never had the spirit. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Oh, I don't have to prove who I am, but you do. There are those who maybe of another spirit, another foe, Duggan foe. You got it? Okay. And so, yeah, she had the sons, but she didn't have the spirit. She reproduced and was carnal. So are you following Penina or Hannah? She had no respect for the first wife. Same at the house of God, the church. The sons of Eli had no respect for God's house and operated in sensuality. It was all about sensuality with them. So you got sensuality here at the house and sensuality at the church. Let's read about it. I'll read 2 Samuel 2, 12 through 14 and 22 through 24. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord.
Lord have mercy, sir.
And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething and with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand and struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto the Israelites that came thither. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. Let's talk. If your worship is out of order, the rest of your life will be out of order. Hear me? You cannot serve right in God's house when you don't or won't worship. You got to see it. Eli's sons were all doing the things right in church. They were doing the church things. But they were sons of Belial. So it can look like you're doing right, but your heart's not right. As a pastor, I watch the worship of my congregants, and I can tell when you're off. Something's going on. This is vital because you serve and give based on your worship level. Not based on your position, title, intellect, degrees, none of that. It's your worship is the great equalizer. A child worshiping is greater than adult with the knowledge of what they should do in church. Worship is the great equalizer. If you come into the house of God and you cannot worship, you've already cut yourself. You might as well have stayed home. That's why it's a painful thing for a pastor to see someone come to church and watch the worship. But rather than leaving, they're going to stay. Why? Because there has to be a justification of why they leave. I'm going to tell you that if you have heard, and if you're here and you're hearing, then are you hearing right? For the only justification in leaving is when Eli's sons are not doing things right. All right? This is Bible. And so I watch my peeps. I see what's happening. When the devil wants you, he will come after your attendance to church and your worship when you get to church. Well, at least I got her. You shouldn't be here. I'm here. They'll see me. I shouldn't see you. Come on, somebody's going to get it. I shouldn't be here and you shouldn't see me. We should all be here, and all that we should see is the glory of God, is the worship, the words of the song should lift up our hearts, and we should be involved, because that's us.
Yes. Yes.
Glory to God. When the devil wants you, that's what he does. He comes to attack your attendance and worship. He will instruct you not to attend, listen to what I say, now listen to what I say, the wedding ceremony. Okay, say it better. Thank you, Holy Ghost. He said to say this, the wedding rehearsal ceremony. He just corrected me. He said, remember the real wedding. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I appreciate you. Every time, God Almighty, every time we gather together, behold, he comes riding on a cloud, shining like the sun. Hear the trumpet calls, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. That's all it should be. Everybody, one focus, one go. Soon as you hit the church property, you got your seat for the rehearsal. You're at the rehearsal. You better get at the wedding rehearsal. You won't look stupid on the wedding day. You see? Oh, glory to God. And I know I have a few more than a few Shekinah because I felt it today. You didn't know it was the rehearsal, but I'm telling you, you are at the wedding rehearsal. You're getting ready because one day Jesus will step on a cloud, and the same cloud that took him up to heaven will come back to earth, but not touch earth, but we'll be caught up to meet him. Caught up to meet him. Praise God. Joy and happiness will be ours. So I'm practicing my joy right now. I'm practicing my happy right now. I'm practicing my worship. Here comes the, I'm practicing my praise and worship right now. I got my oil, y'all. I'm a wise virgin. I'm not just here, but I got my oil topped up. Anybody else got your oil topped up? Anybody else praising God? Anybody else worshiping God? Anybody else feel his spirit and understand that when we come to church, it's to glorify God? Yeah, yeah. I should say, here comes the groom. Yeah. Woo, Shabba. And so listen to back to the text. The sons were at church in leadership and doing the things of leadership wrong. Not the outward things. They hid everything. They knew how to serve, boom, 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 until it got to the sacrifice. It was about their flesh and not the flesh hook. That's another sermon. It was about their flesh, how they feel, what they want, and not the flesh hook. God, whatever it is, I'll take that. I'll be satisfied with Jesus. My soul is satisfied. Said he'll be my comfort. Said he'll be my guide. Looked at my hands, they look new. I looked at my feet, and they did too. Ever since that wonderful day, my soul is satisfied. Yeah, yeah. See, all week long, Jennifer. Nancy, somebody going to be picking at your soul. Seems like the closer you get to Sunday, like you're going to just pick on it a little bit more. Why? Because even the devil knows. Last week you sent up some praise. Last week you sent up some worship. So they got to try to nullify that. Got to cancel it out. But I'm telling you, the real church of God is not a part of the cancel culture. You can't stop my praise. You can't stop my worship. You can't stop me from reproducing. I know who I am. I know who God has called me to be. I know what God has proclaimed. And God has given me insight to what he has for his house. But the sons in the house, Eli's sons, wrong. Let's investigate the bitterness aspect some more. I want you to see two verses together in order to bring out understanding. Watch this. 1 Samuel 1:15. And Hannah answered and said, "No, no, no, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink." That's a whole nother sermon right there. "But poured out my soul before the Lord." See, verse 16. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. 1 Samuel 2:12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. So in the house, serving in the house, doing everything that looked right, but yet they were sons of Belial. They were not telling the truth. They were inwardly against their own witness of what you saw. But that's where I love God, because eventually he will cause truth to reveal itself. Hannah, look at this. Eli accuses Hannah of being drunk when his own sons were the actual drunkards in the church. People will always accuse you of what they're actually guilty of. Point to note, of course Eli missed it. He missed Hannah just as he missed his very own sons. Hannah says, "I'm not a drunk." God tells us later that Eli's sons, as I read, were drunkards. You see the necessity of pastors operating here with clean hands, all right? God is not pleased when his leaders allow others to operate who are out of order. God gives grace. Please remember that. God gives grace, but his mercy will not always extend to mankind. At some point, people. You see, Hannah was of a sorrowful spirit. God was likewise sorrowful. The Holy Spirit of God was grieved. They were both now at church and grieved because Hannah is now with Eli. Hannah was grieved. God is grieved. Hannah brings the real essence of praise and worship to God's house. Grieved meets grieved. Hannah's grieved because of her situation. God is grieved because of the situation in his house. This is the ultimate barrenness. God will not reproduce in such situations. That's why I'm excited. I'm a one excited person for the year 2023. Thank you, God. God is about to fix it. God is about to bring about right leadership so there can be right membership. You're scared, look at you. You know it's the truth. Set yourself free. Come on. Yay! I see you, Reverend Stephen. It's God's word, bro. Listen, the way the Spirit fell on this, I was like, oh, Lord, Pastor. Point three. Huh? What? Birth at home and church. Birth it. You go down the hospital and say, I'm ready to give birth, and they take you to just any old room. You say, take me in the room where when I had a sprained ankle, I'll go in there. No, I'm about to give birth. Look, any beds for that? Look, I just put me on a bed, I spread my legs, I give birth. No! What kind of nonsense? See how ridiculous that sounds? Now, can I say that is the same inclination, alignment that we're speaking about? God says, I guess you can't trust a whole pile of people, and you got people in there that are not able to safely handle the new babies. Verses 17 and 18, then Eli answered and said, go in peace. I thought that was wonderful today. And the Lord and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. What? What? You wouldn't know. Church, God always does things in order. Watch this. Here, God causes Eli to release the blessing of release. Right? Let me go back to it, because some didn't see it. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thy petition. Now, Eli didn't understand the alignment. He wouldn't. So when he says, I release, he was being released to release his sons. Okay, all right. Here, God causes Eli to release the blessing of release, the so let it be blessing, right? So let it be. God, it's out of my hands. Clean it up, God. Do what you're going to do. I'm about sick and tired of it. Oh, I'm sorry, that was me. God, do what you're going to do. I'll clean it up. Reveal truth. God, reveal truth. Let them know who the real soldiers are, who the real standards are, who the real expositories of God's word are in the house. God, let them stand as worshipers and praisers. God, let 2023 be a year where we see true worship and we see fervent worship and we don't see disagreeableness and we don't see all this sadness and sorrow. God, let your joy be in the house. See? Joy to the... Let that joy... There would now be a, watch this, there would now be a natural, because it's been released. Come on, somebody. What did I talk about? Come on, you know, Doc, what word's coming next, Doc? Starting with the menstrual cycle, so what word's coming next? Release is the what? Ovulation. Where's my biologist? I'm the only biologist. You said that? You knew it. Okay, okay, okay. Got a few. So now, watch this. There will now be a, because he said, he released it. He said, let it be, right? Really? God says, woman, that was up. There's a natural ovulation within Hannah that produced the seed called Samuel. Eli has come in agreement that his own sons were not the seed that God wanted. No, God will birth what he wants. Hannah was not infertile. Did I say that at the beginning? She's not infertile. Hannah was so a worshiper and and lover of God, even through the misery of barrenness and being called names and being mocked and being shamed, that God chose her womb as being sanctified enough to house, perhaps create, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, Samuel. See, if you start thinking about that, okay, God, I'm going through. All right, well, what greatness is God going to bring out of you? Don't stop it to going through. Don't park it at the failure. Don't park it at the misery. No. You know, matter of fact, for males and females, because it's spiritual, right? You're going through something really heavy, really deep. Well, my words to you say, God, let me ovulate. Now, be careful. Now, we're talking about spiritual. We ain't talking natural. I don't want no supernatural ovulation and supernatural. I know that season is past. I'm glad it's over. There are no more tickets to sell to that game. No! But in the spiritual sense, I'm going to have some triplets this year. I'm going to have some babies because I know that when I go through, it's only a set up of hormonal insight that tells me that spiritually you are about to ovulate, and in ovulating, you are about to release the egg that will meet up the spiritual sperm, and what God has spoken over your life will come to pass. I tell you, it's not natural, it's supernatural. It's supernatural what God is about to do. But I know not everybody gonna understand what I'm saying, gonna feel what I'm saying. But there are some supernatural things that I need to happen in my family, that I need to happen with my daughters, that I need to happen with my parents, that I need to happen with my nieces and nephews and great nieces and nephews. There are some supernatural things that I want to happen at Shekinah Worship Center. So I'm staying tuning, I'm listening to God's voice to know when ovulation is about to occur. And see, they tell me when you ovulate, if you're really sensitive to your body, you would notice a certain twinge of pain. See, that we want to avoid. Can I tell you that the pain that you feel, if you're in God's will, is only a precluding the fact that you are about to conceive what God has already placed in your spiritual DNA. Don't give up when you feel the pain. Don't give up when you're going through. Keep pushing through. The greatest prophet, Samuel. Hannah had been held back from birthing until the right time, director. It was time to fix, Lord have mercy, the barren situation. It was time to fix, watch this, this is it, the barren situation at church. Oh yeah, the barren situation at Shekinah Worship Center. Best singing. Best band, given young man, best worshiping, but there was something stopping the reproduction. I'm here to tell you that God has sanctioned for reproduction at this house. Now all we got to do is carry ourselves right. Right? You don't carry yourself when you're pregnant the way you did before you got pregnant. Carry yourself right. We're housing something now. And so, this is when God opened up the door he had shut. He shut it. He shut it. Because anyone that came into Shiloh will come under the anointing of Hophni and Phinehas. And Hophni and Phinehas will go to him and counsel him. Come on up in here, Holy Ghost. Hophni and Phinehas would see young women coming to the church and want to counsel them and end up lying with them. See, this is going to be too deep for some of you. That's a physical lying with them. More dangerous is a spiritual. They didn't come under Eli. They came under the sons. But now God, no more Hophni and Phinehas. Now it's Samuel. He got a hair different now. Got a hair different. So Shekinah Worship Center, welcome to Shiloh. Welcome to barren, becoming blessed to birth. Blessings abound. Put your hand together. This is one of those sermons. I promise you, if you don't listen to it again, you won't fully understand God's word. I welcome any person. I'm always this way. If you think I have misinterpreted the text, meet me, because you have a right to. Now, of course, I'm like Dr. David Jeremiah last night. I know what I'm saying. I'm going to say this sentence because it's a series that I got. Be careful who's holding the razor. Cut away at your anointing. The very skill that holding that razor am I saying that everything is going to come up razor? Because everything is the same as it was in Genesis. Choice. Free will of mankind based on the original sin. I pray today that you will choose to birth at Shiloh. Oh God, I'm in. I am in. Look, Doc, find me the room. Hygienic. Everybody wearing white. Everybody got a mask on. Hat on, cover the hair too. Cover everything. I want everything so clean. The only thing coming, see, when the baby comes out, it immediately becomes vulnerable as it never was before. It's been protected in the womb. Soon as it comes out. And listen, we're not in, and I say this again, for real, we're not in Africa. In some places in Africa, and I've seen pictures, so I know what I'm talking about. And I've been sent pictures, so I know what I'm talking about. You're going to get breath in a room. It's got paint coming off. It's pink. The underlying color is beige. Listen here to what I say concerning that. They know how to handle that. Their system is built for that, not you and me. Because we're just not accustomed to that. The baby gonna survive. Let's protect our house this year. And the only way to do this is protect your house, your mind. Your mind. Your mind. Got to. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you've spoken. And God, we will aim every time, whether we're in the physical room or the virtual room. Meet me in Shiloh. I'm coming to Shiloh. Where you going? I'm coming to Shiloh. Haba Sheka. My God, have their feet, happy feet. I'm running to the house of the Lord. Where are you going? I'm there in church. I'm there in church. God, you're able.
Yes, you are.
Oh, the joy of our salvation, God.
Yes.
Bless your people. Reconnect your people, God. Bring us together, joint supplying, joint, God. God, that we would be a care for each other as we care for each other. God, have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.